on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, we welcome everybody to another edition of the Colorado State Insider podcast. Welcome, Brian Roth, your host, as we talk Colorado State athletics. Of course, still in the football season, couple games left. Colorado State losing last week to Air Force 35-21. The Rams, fortunately, have dropped four straight, and, well, they are out of bowl contention, but, well, you still have the two games left. Try to close out on a high mark. Rams are going to be on the road at Hawaii. In fact, I'm going to be hopping on a plane and heading to Hawaii with the team charter here in just about a couple of hours. Not looking forward to the flight, but, man, can't lie. I mean, kind of looking forward to getting out there, and we're going to go see Pearl Harbor and do some beach time. I know life is tough, but the Rams are hopefully going to get off the schneid coming up Saturday night against Hawaii. It'll be a 9 p.m. Mountain kickoff time, 6 p.m. Hawaiian time. And, well, as we break down that game for you a little bit, we'll also be joined by Cam Reddy, the center for Colorado State. He was a guest on the Coors Light Steve Adazio Coach Show on Monday night, so I'll play my interview with Cam Reddy. Well, the Colorado State men's and women's basketball teams rolling early in the season. They're both off to a 3-0 start. We're going to talk some CSU women's hoops and men's hoops, but we'll hear from head coach Ryan Williams. The women beat Oral Roberts on Monday night, and he joined our women's play-by-play guy, the voice of the Colorado State women's basketball team, Matt Wozniak. And so I'll get you that post-game interview as well. And, yeah, we're going to get you caught up on volleyball, cross-country, women's swimming and diving, all good things going on with those programs as we speak. So that's what's coming up on the program. As far as this Colorado State football team, well, Rams dropped their fourth consecutive game last Saturday night as they were knocked off by Air Force 35-21, and it was a game where CSU got off to just a miserable start. Rams go 3-0 in their opening offensive possession. Air Force goes right down the field on their first offensive possession at 7-0. Rams throw an INT, their next possession, short field for the Falcons. They score, and halfway through the first quarter, it was 14-0, and Colorado State looked like possibly they could be on the verge of getting blown out by the Falcons. But Steve Adazio's team, they did regain their composure, and Colorado State was able to pull it to 14-7. Then the big 94-yard pass play on 1st and 27. That one still hurts. Longest pass play, by the way, in the history of Canvas Stadium. And if all of a sudden it was 21-7 after the end of the first, Rams got it to 21-14 at the intermission, and really didn't feel that bad about it. Now, Air Force got the football to open up that third quarter, and really the play of the game, I think, that kind of turned everything in that game. Colorado State came up with a stop, and they forced Air Force to punt it away, at least the Rams thought. And Air Force ran a fake punt, kept the drive alive, and they go down and score in that opening possession of quarter number three to make it a two-score game again. All of a sudden, it's 28-14, and I give credit Air Force. I mean, that's a great call by Troy Calhoun. Colorado State was still in their base defense, but still were not able to defend the fake punt. And, you know, CSU gets a stop there. They get the ball back. It's 21-14. Rams go down to score. Yeah, you know, would have, could have, should have. Colorado State probably would have been in pretty good shape. But at the end of the day, that's not what happened. And CSU, they go down by 14 once again. They got it to 28-21, but never able to get closer than that. And it was just one giant game of keep away for the Falcons in the second half. Colorado State only held the football for 7 minutes and 9 seconds in the entire second half. Think about that. 7:09 of the 30 minutes CSU had the football there in the second half. They only had the ball for 2 minutes in the third quarter. Rams gave up 388 rushing yards in the game. Of course, we knew the Falcons would be able to run the football. They're the best rushing team in the entire nation, and you knew that they would be able to do that, but you certainly didn't want to give up 388. I mean, anytime you can get Air Force under 300 yards rushing, you probably feel like you might have a good chance, but 388, way too much. And, well, it's a Ram rush defense that you look at them in the last 2 weeks, okay? Rams entered the game at Wyoming 18th in the entire nation in rush defense. They went into Laramie giving up just 109 rushing yards per game. Well, they give up 385 to the Cowboys, 388 to the Falcons. That's over 770 rushing yards in the past two games. And the Rams went 18th in the nation to 85th in the nation in run defense in a span of 2 weeks. Now, I still believe in this run defense for Colorado State. I certainly believe in the front four. But obviously some injuries at that linebacker spot have taken its toll, and not having DaQuan Jackson in there certainly doesn't help the defense and getting fits. But here's the good news. You get Hawaii coming up on Saturday, and Hawaii doesn't run the football particularly well. They're more of a pass team. So CSU, well, the run defense should be able to bounce back, and it's a Colorado State team hoping to snap the four-game skid. As for Hawaii, they come into the contest sitting at 4-7 on the season. They're 1-5 in conference play. They have lost three consecutive games. That includes a 27-13 setback at UNLV here this past weekend. And, you know, that's an interesting game. Hawaii only had 10 first downs in that game. Now, we all know Hawaii plays much better at home. They're a much different football team at home than they are on the road. But Hawaii last week, they lose to UNLV 27-13. And how about this? Hawaii scored on a 79-yard touchdown pass on the very first play of that game. And then they only had 161 total yards the rest of the game. That UNLV defense completely shut them down. And it's a UNLV team that ran for 293 yards in the game. So maybe the Rams can get the run game going a little bit. And, you know, you hope to be able to bounce back against Hawaii. But like we said, Hawaii's a much better team at home. In fact, they beat Fresno State, who was nationally ranked earlier this season, in Honolulu. Nearly beat San Diego State in Honolulu. Make the argument those are the two best teams in the Mountain West Conference. So Colorado State has a chance to bounce back coming up on Saturday night, but they're going to have to play much better. You're going to have to clean up the explosive plays defensively. I mean, Colorado State has given up so many big plays defensively in the last 2 weeks and got to get that cleaned up heading in to Honolulu. Again, the Rams are going to take off here on Wednesday from Loveland Ford Collins. They have a stop in Oakland to refuel, and then we're on our way to the Big Islands. We get to the team hotel, I believe, tonight at 8 o'clock Hawaii time, so that'll be a 11 p.m. Mountain time. But again, Rams and the Rainbow Warriors come up Saturday night at 9 p.m. Mountain time. All right, earlier this week, I had an opportunity to sit down with Cam Reddy, the center for the Colorado State Rams. Started all four games last year after transferring from Boston College and has been the starter under center for every single game this year. He joined us on Monday night from CBN Potts, Collindale. Help us welcome Cam Reddy, the junior center for the Colorado State Rams. Cam, great to see you. How are you?
It's good to see you, too. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Cam hails from Franklin, Massachusetts, and a kid who opened up his collegiate career at Boston College and eventually transferred to Colorado State and started all four games at center last year, and I believe he started every game here this year as well. I know there's been a lot of mixing and matching on that offensive line, and let's just start right there. Talk a little bit about that, and when you're mixing and matching so much, what kind of problems does that present to an offensive lineman and a center?
Yeah, I think that you know, offensive line is based on chemistry too, to some extent. So when guys go down, young guys come up, your goal is really just trying to get everybody on the same page, and that can be a process, especially with some of the younger guys. So, but we've done pretty well with it this year.
Yeah. Now, you are the center, and that's kind of the quarterback of the offensive line. Kind of give fans an idea of what your responsibilities are each and every time you come up to snap the football.
Yeah, so communication is key for us. So, really, it starts with the center. You know, we're trying to make a point, so we'll start with whatever linebacker we're trying to work to, and it's kind of a system where everyone's working one off at the next guy, and it's all about communication.
So, right. And you have a guy behind you in Todd Senteo. What's the relationship like between center and quarterback? Is that a special relationship because you guys are so close?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, I love Toddy, and I think we got a special communication between the two of us. We work a lot together. We talk a lot outside of, like, the mandatory stuff, and it's great. Yeah,
this is offense, and I know when Coach Dazio came here and wanted to be a run football team, wanted to be a power football team. Does that make it more fun for an offensive lineman when you get to run block?
I think so, yeah. You know, you get coached hard. You want to run the ball well, and I think that's that's all the more reason to be working with all these young guys, like guys who have to step up. It's very difficult to do well, you know, so we take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of former coaches out there that coach on the offensive side. A lot of them are former quarterbacks, and they always say they coach that position group the hardest because that's the position that they played in college.
Right.
Well, I know you have a head football coach here that is a line guy, right? Does he coach the offensive line maybe harder than the other position groups?
Yeah, I mean, he's hands-on. I think he's coaching everywhere, you know, but I think he's definitely involved with the offensive line, and he coaches us hard. You know, Coach A is obviously coaching us hard too. So we get a lot of good coaching, you know. There's a lot of good stuff. So.
What kind of similarities between Coach A, Louis Adazio, which of course Steve's son who coaches offensive line, and Coach Adazio? Are they pretty similar in the way they coach?
Yeah, I would say they're similar. I would say the biggest thing that stands out to me is the detail. You know, you go through every single play, every step, the angle of your step. I think the detail is what gets me, is both of them could be in the room and they almost interject each other because they see the exact same thing that I did or where my eyes were in the slide. It's just,
right.
It's incredible detail.
Cam Ruddy joining us here on the program here tonight, the junior out of Franklin, Massachusetts, and he's 6'2", 300-pound center. All right, so you started at Boston College as a walk-on, and you eventually transferred here. Take us through why Boston College with Coach Adazio, and then why did you decide to come out here?
Yeah, so I'm from outside of Boston. I'm from Massachusetts, New Hampshire area. Like, I'm all around there. And I grew up a BC fan, and I always wanted to play major college football. And the high school process, the recruiting process, I didn't have anything crazy going on, but I knew I wanted to play major college football, see if I could do it. So I figured for at least a couple of years I would try the walk-on route. And Coach Adazio believed in me. He let me walk on. And basically from there, it was – I started out as a fullback, believe it or not. I was,
right.
I was a little smaller.
Right.
Yeah, and I was probably, about 50 pounds smaller. And then Coach Adazio decided to make me offensive lineman. I'm really thankful he did. You know, it worked out for the best. And then, obviously, at some point, I had to enter the transfer portal and just kind of figure out what was going on. Coach Adazio, obviously, he had left and came here, and I got an opportunity to come out with him, and I'm just really thankful to be here. So.
All right, yeah, we're happy to have you here. What are your thoughts on Colorado? Had you been out to Colorado before you come up, being from the East Coast and in Massachusetts? I imagine you might not have been.
No, I've never been out here, and so I've got to see so many different places, and it's been nice to be out here. It's definitely different, you know, but I love it. I think it's a special place to go to school.
Now, did you lose your accent out here, or did you just not bring one out here?
I never had that thick of an accent, according to my dad, so... I don't have a crazy accent or anything.
All right, so you were a fullback when you got to Boston College. Were you a fullback in high school then, or were you a running back? And what kind of – or were you an offensive lineman? What kind of fullback were you in high school?
Yeah, I was more of a tight end.
Okay.
You know, I kind of went the fullback route a little bit because of the height. And, you know, it's just – recruiting got a little messy, and it was just trying to find my niche and what I could do. I didn't have the vision. I didn't see that I could be – an offensive lineman. I wasn't even sure if I could gain the weight, and I did okay with that. So, I was thankful that the coaches saw that because that helped me more than anything. So,
what is the process of gaining weight? So you get on campus, you're a fullback, Coach Adazio turns you into a offensive lineman. How does that process work?
It's
just eat.
I mean, shout out to our strength coach, Coach Scott, because he's over at BC too. So he helped me with certain plans to make sure I was trying to put on the right weight, but it's a lot of eating and it's a lot of excess calories, more than you think you can eat, and tons of lifting, tons of training. And it takes a long time. You know, I would say probably last year was the first year I felt like I could really hold the weight and I could be consistent with it, not have dips and dives and everything like that.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people say, well, you just have to eat, but I know there's a ton of work that goes on in that weight room too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to be dedicated. You got to be consistent. You got to do extra stuff. So,
all right, Cam Ruddy joining us here on the show here tonight. A couple of final thoughts before we let you go. This team, and I know Coach Adazio is talking about building for the future and building this from the ground up and creating that culture. What is the mindset going into the final two games now for this ball club with, you know, some of those goals at the start of the season maybe out of the window?
Yeah, I mean, you get disappointed. You know, you want your record to be better. I mean, that's just true. You want to win more games. But I think that the overall goal is still the same. You know, we're going to have a day tomorrow. You know what I mean? We're going to try to get better, and we're going to try to win both of these games. We're going to try to finish strong. You know, we have a lot of pride, and I think that that should be everybody's focus, you know, is improvement, but then also let's win the last two games.
You ever been to Hawaii?
I've never been. No, I'm excited.
Right. Well, you're going to go on Wednesday. Camp, thanks so much. Continued success, and can't wait to watch you play the last two games.
Thank you.
All right, that's Cam Reddy, the junior center from Franklin, Massachusetts. Again, he started off as a walk-on at Boston College, now on scholarship here at Colorado State as the center for this Ram offense. Again, don't forget, coming up on Saturday night, it's the Rams and the Rainbow Warriors. Our pregame show starts at 7 p.m. Mountain Time with the tailgate show at Marty Cesario, and then the kickoff, 9 p.m. Mountain Time. It'll be 6 p.m. Hawaii time, and it's a Colorado State team that has played well in Hawaii. In fact, the Rams have won their last three games in Honolulu. That includes a 51-21 win in 2007. Rams also won with Jim McElwain in 2013 and then with Sonny Lubick back in 1996. The last loss for the Rams in Honolulu came back in November of 1992. All right, let's move on and talk a little Colorado State basketball. And the men's team on the road, they're in the Virgin Islands for the Paradise Jam, and it's a Colorado State team that's off to a 3-0 start. Of course, we talked extensively about that huge win against Oral Roberts to kick off the season. What a night at Moby Arena in front of 7,200 fans. Rams followed it up with a 91-71 win against Arkansas Pine Bluff last Friday night, and then a 88-62 win over Peru State, an NAIA school out of Nebraska. That was on Sunday. And now it's off to the Paradise Jam, and the Rams get set to take on Bradley out of the Missouri Valley Conference coming up on Friday at 11 a.m. It's a Bradley team that's sitting at 1-2 on the season, and their only win came against a Division II team. Ken Palm has them ranked at 199. It's a team that went 12-16 last year, and they were picked to finish sixth in the Missouri Valley Conference. So Colorado State's going to be the favorite on Friday against Bradley. Then you get the winner or the loser, depending on what the Rams do against Brown and Creighton. You figure that's going to be Creighton. If the Rams win on Friday, they'll get the day off on Saturday, and then they'll play on Sunday, 3:45 Mountain Time. Most likely that would be against Creighton, you would think. If they lose on Friday, they would play the very next day, Saturday, at 1:15 p.m. Mountain Time. But, you know, you look at Creighton, that's a ball club that went to the Sweet 16 last year before falling to Gonzaga. But they did lose all five starters from last season. So they're kind of rebuilding. They were picked to finish eighth in the preseason Big East poll. But that's a Creighton team that went to Nebraska and beat the Cornhuskers last night. Nebraska's a top 100 Ken Palm team. So Creighton's off to a 3-0 start, and they're going to be a pretty good outfit. That'll be a good test if the Rams and the Blue Jays hook up in round number two. If that happens, it'd be Sunday at 3:45 Mountain Time. If the Rams happen to lose that first game, they would play Saturday at 1:15 p.m. And yeah, just a reminder, Colorado, the Buffaloes are on the other side of the bracket. So while the Rams and the Buffs are not going to play in the Centennial State here this season, well, there is a possibility. The Rams are going to meet them down the Paradise Jam. And if they do, let's hope that that is in the championship game. That'd be a lot of fun for the Rams and the Buffs to duel for a Paradise Jam championship. Matt Wozniak, our women's play-by-play guy, we'll hear from Matt here in just a second. He is going to take the lead as the play-by-play guy down the Virgin Islands. Of course, I'm going to be in Hawaii. So Matt will have the call along with Adam Nygon. And again, game number one coming up Friday at 11 a.m. Our coverage across the Colorado State Sports Network begins at 10:30 a.m. on Friday. Speaking of the Colorado State women's basketball team, and like the men, the Colorado State women, they're off to a 3-0 start. We talked about their season-opening victory against Colorado Christian on the podcast last week, but they've won two since then. They beat Northern Colorado on Friday night, 61-50, and boy, that was a game in which the Rams trailed by 14 out of the gates. I mean, 7 minutes into the game, the Bears had a 19-5 lead, but Ryan Williams' team, they were able to claw their way back into the contest. Rams got it to a 10-point game at halftime. Then they were trailing by just four at the end of the third quarter, and then the Rams outscored Northern Colorado 24-9 in the fourth quarter of that game to come away with the victory. Carly Murphy, a double-double, 14 points, 13 rebounds. Rams then, the women's team turned right around. Monday night, they took on Oral Roberts, and another strong fourth quarter for Colorado State as they pull away, 71-56 the final score. They get their third win of the season. Another double-double for Carly Murphy, 18 points, 13 rebounds. Upeya Tausu at 16 points. She's the transfer from Butler. She's looked very good early on. And then McKenna Hofschild, a preseason All-Mountain West Conference guard for the Rams, 13 points and 6 assists. So the Rams are off to a 3-0 start. They have a road game looming with Denver coming up on Thursday down at Hamilton Gymnasium, the campus of DU. And following the victory against Oral Roberts, Matt Wozniak had an opportunity to speak with head coach Ryan Williams following the contest.
All right, Coach, first things first, let's take a look at this one started out. You know, this is a track meet. You were worried about some of the conditioning this early, and you were worried about getting some rotations out there. How do you think your team handled the energy that was required to pull this victory?
I thought our kids responded really well. You know, Oral Roberts is a team that wants to score. They want to get up and down. You know, they play with great physicality. So you don't get just tired running. You get tired guarding and banging bodies. So I thought our kids showed a lot of toughness tonight. Another really good second half by our team. I think once we started limiting the turnovers, playing with a little more poise and patience in the second half, I thought our posts were really good again tonight, not just defensively, but we got some production out of them offensively. So a great win. I thought, you know, fun game for the crowd. I mean, it was, you know, thanks for your energy. But it was fun. Kids played well.
That's about as entertaining as it gets. I mean, when it goes up and down like that. And I had asked you a little bit about your bigs. I was just so impressed with how well they rebounded. And that was really the key to so you could keep up on that tempo, wasn't it?
Yeah, I looked at the staff at halftime, and I thought we had like a 9 or 10 point advantage or on the glass, which, let's face it, that usually never happens. And so I thought our individual defense tonight was exceptional. I thought our compete on the glass was exceptional. I thought our decision-making in the second half when we drove it and we found kids that were cutting, I thought Upe was really good. And once we got him stretched out and a little tired, you saw some nice production. So I think our team grew tonight again. This is the first time we've, you know, kind of been in this situation where we've gone against a team with really good athleticism, quickness that can blow up your drives a little bit, the physicality piece. So this was a great game for us early in the season.
What did you like about the way your guards were able to handle? They had some really shaky guards out there. They were shifty. They were getting in, and they were really getting their way in that first half. But then you started locking down on them. What did you see about that?
Yeah, I just thought we competed better on the ball. We had a few assignments early. You know, they had three threes in the first half. They were 3 of 13. All three were on our missed break or our breakdowns. But you didn't see that in the second half. We really cleaned that up. So that's where our team is growing. I mean, just the assignment that we give them every night is different every night, and they're accepting their responsibilities, and they're doing a great job of doing what we ask of them. And you know, you said their guards are quick. Mm-hmm. They are. You know, offensively, they've got some shake. Defensively, they do a great job of keeping the ball in front. You know, McKenna had a hard time tonight getting by, but I thought how she finished the game was extraordinary. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a point guard just staying with it all night long. So our team grew up tonight. Oral Roberts, they're a good basketball team. I thought their kids competed really hard. So a fun college basketball game for our Ram fans tonight.
Yep. I wanted to talk a little bit about the turnovers, and that became a problem, but it didn't really come back to haunt you. Was that just because of the tempo and the speed? There were a lot of possessions is basically what I'm getting at. Everybody had an opportunity to turn it over. It was going so fast.
Yeah, it was, and I think you saw some impatient possessions in the first half. They were really sitting on those initial drives, you know, where, you know, after one or two passes, the defense is going to be rock solid.
Yep.
You know, maybe after three or four they might start to break down, five or six, and that's what we did better the second half.
Yep.
You know, they were, you know, we would get in that lane in the first half and we weren't playing off at 2 feet. So the simple fundamental of a jump stop and playing off at 2 feet, you saw Upe do it in the second half, and look what it got us. It got us an easy 2 points. It got us a kick out three. First half we were just playing just too unfundamental with the basketball. So that's all we did the second half. We just, you know, sometimes it's not X and O's and jump, you know, adjustments. Sometimes it's just very fundamental.
Yep.
And that's where I thought our team grew up a little bit tonight.
Yep, you certainly did improve as the contest went along. Congratulations on the
3-0
start. Good luck in Denver.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, that's Ryan Williams, women's basketball coach again. They're going to be at DU on Thursday, 7 p.m. tip there, and then at home against Lipscomb on Sunday afternoon at 12 noon. All right, before we wrap up the podcast here this week and I head over to Loveland Fort Collins Airport and hop on a flight to the islands, wanted to shine a light on some of the other Colorado State athletic teams that are absolutely crushing it right now. And hey, how about Colorado State volleyball? I mean, the Rams, 17-8 overall. They're 13-3 in the Mountain West Conference, and they sit in sole possession of first place. Tom Hilbert's team going to wrap up the regular season here this week. Thursday night, tomorrow night, they'll be on the road at Utah State and then at Boise State on Saturday. And tomorrow night's match is absolutely huge. Utah State sitting at 12-4 in conference. That's one game back of the 13-3 Rams. Then you have San Jose State sitting at 12-4, UNLV at 10-6, Boise State and New Mexico at 9-7. But Utah State is the only threat right now. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess San Jose State is as well. But Utah State's the main threat for Colorado State if they want to take home the regular season Mountain West Conference championship. And if the Rams beat Utah State, who they swept earlier this year at Moby Arena, if they beat Utah State, CSU will claim the number one seed in the Mountain West Conference tournament that starts next week in Vegas. So a ton on the line tomorrow night for Tom Hilbert's team. The Rams, by the way, they got a 3-0 sweep of Fresno State this past Saturday. And that means CSU wraps up, or has wrapped up, their home schedule in the Mountain West Conference. And they went 9-0 against Mountain West Conference teams this year at Moby Arena. They never lost a set. Never lost a set. They went 27-0 in sets this year against Mountain West Conference teams at Moby Arena. That is a pure domination. So the Rams hoping to get the top two seeds, hoping to get the number one seed, obviously, but the top six seeds go to the Mountain West Conference tournament. That's going to decide the champion and the automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament. And Mountain West Conference is only going to be a one bid league this year. So whoever wins the Mountain West tournament is going to be the representative in the NCAA tournament. So the top six seeds go and the top two get buys into the semifinals. So that is absolutely huge. I think the Rams will probably get one of those two buys. And again, that means you only have to win two matches, and that gets you on to the NCAA tournament. All right, a couple other notes. How about the women's cross-country team? Congratulations to Art Seamer's team as they are back to the NCAA championships. Now, last month we had Art Seamers on the program, and he was talking about the men's and women's team as they prepared for the Mountain West Conference Championships. Well, each of the men's and the women's teams went to Albuquerque 3 weeks ago in the Mountain West Conference Championships. The women's finished third, the men finished fourth, and that helped prepare them for NCAA regionals. They were held last week in Provo, Utah. Well, the Colorado State women, they finished fourth in the NCAA Mountain Regionals, so the best region in the entire nation. Rams took fourth, and they beat out two higher-ranked teams in the process, and that fourth-place finish at the Mountain Regionals pretty much, all but punched the Rams' ticket to the NCAA championships. And it was the best finish for the Colorado State women at a regional since 2007. That's when the Rams won the event. But Colorado State, boy, of course, last year they exceeded expectations on the women's side. They were able to sneak into the NCAA championships. This year, though, there was no doubt. And their name was called on Selection Sunday in the NCAA Selection Show as an at-large bid. And, well, the women, first time that they'll go back-to-back NCAA championships since 2006 and 2007. As for the men, they finished ninth at the NCAA Mountain Regionals, and unfortunately they did not qualify, but a lot of good young runners on that men's team that certainly figures to get better coming up next year. All right, the women, they're going to be in Tallahassee, Florida. NCAA Championships, 31 teams set to race it out, and looking forward to seeing Art Seamers and his Colorado State women run down there in Tallahassee. And finally, let's close it up with a little shout-out to the Colorado State swimming and diving team. How about the start for Chris Woodard's women? They are 13-0 in their duels so far this season. I mean, that's a program record, 13-0. They had wins over DU and Wyoming. Now, why was the win against Wyoming significant? Well, first off, they're Wyoming. But second off, the win at Wyoming back on November 6th, it was the first time CSU had defeated the Cowgirls in 12 years, dating back to 2009, and the Rams came from behind to do it. They beat the Cowgirls 152-148, and Rams were led by Christina Friedrichs. She won the 50-yard freestyle, the 100-yard freestyle, and the 100 butterfly. She was terrific. So, again, congratulations to Chris Woodard and the Colorado State Swimming and Diving Team. They have been tremendous here early on this season. They're going to be down at the University of Houston coming up Thursday through Saturday at the Phil Hensel Invite hosted by the University of Houston. It'll be the first time that the Rams have competed at sea level this season, but great stuff with the swimming and diving team, the basketball teams, cross country, volleyball, a lot of good stuff going on out there in Ram Nation. All right, that's going to do it for the Colorado State Insider Podcast, an abbreviated show here this week. I am off to Hawaii with the football team. Again, coming up on Saturday night, we'll have the coverage for you across the Colorado State Sports Network. Tailgate show with Marty Cesario at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Kickoff between the Rams, the Rainbow Warriors, 9 p.m. Mountain Time. And another reminder, the men's basketball team, again, they're going to tip off on Friday morning in round one of the Paradise Jam against the Bradley Braves. That'll be an 11 a.m. tip-off Mountain Time. Matt Wozniak, Adam Nygon go on the air at 10:30 on Friday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the Colorado State Insider Podcast. We'll talk to you coming up on Saturday night. So long, everybody.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.